Love Osho podcast brings you the real stories of the people whose lives have been inspired and transformed by Osho. We explore why thousands of people are falling in love with Osho and where to find them. Take a deep breath and enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to the Love Osho podcast. My name is Swaram and I'm the host. Today our guest is Swami Anand Himalaya. Himalaya took sannyas in 1976 and is a former engineer who has worked on commercial ships traveling around the world. Himalaya is part of the Path of Love team and is a lover of freedom and self-exploration. Himalaya, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Okay, great. So to start, tell us a little bit about how you came across Osho.
Well, I'd been living in India for 4 years and doing the usual hippie, Goa, Manali, Rajasthan, you know, traveling around. And I was in Goa in Christmas time of 75. And I went through a period of like my life seemed to just fall apart. It felt like pointless in traveling, sex, drugs, rock and roll. That was the thing those days, and the hippie sadhu. And it just felt futile and pointless. And, and I didn't know anything about Osho really. I had a friend who had a center, but I was more connected with him. I'd seen people who were I was associated with in Goa disappearing, and then would come back in orange, and again it was like, well, that's nothing to do with me. I didn't think it was anyway. And then I was at this party, and I was stoned. And I was looking around and I just felt, I think with the culmination of everything that was happening in my life, I felt such a despair and such a lostness. I felt absolutely lost and despair and out of nowhere, I don't know why, how, whatever, I just said, Bhagwan. And, suddenly I was like charged. I was like, wow. And just full of energy and a light and a silence. And I felt so, I don't know what to say, how to explain it. It was an experience that was it was an experience. At one point, I felt like, I don't know which came first. There was a trembling and a fear and a voice that said, you're alone just like everybody is alone. And then maybe the fear, but then the experience went. That was it. And I was back to whatever, but not quite back to how I was previously. And 3 days later, I was in Pune, and I arrived there, and there was Greek Mukta sitting on the steps with a little chart, and he's like, yeah, come tonight, clean robe, wash your hair, and da-da-da-da. So I ended up, I borrowed a robe from a friend or somebody I knew. He was like 6'7", and I'm like around 6 foot, so the robe was like trailing on the floor. I don't know what I looked like, but I don't care actually. I wasn't really aware of how I looked. And I saw Osho walking in. This was on the back porch, and I saw Osho walking in, and my first impression was, he's not human. And it's like my mind put him in a lower category. He's not human. And then something flicked, and it was like, wow, this guy is like beyond something. He seemed to float when he walked. I sat in front of him. I haven't a clue what he said to me. It was only a couple of years later, when I read the Darshan diary, did I see that he told me to stay cool. He mentioned coolness 16 times. I actually looked at it the other day, and to stay cool, let coolness be my meditation. If I'm becoming angry or feverish, so much around staying cool, which can be a bit of a, can be a bit of a challenge sometimes. And I only remembered actually when he said, how long are you staying? And I said, oh, I'm leaving tomorrow. And I was heading up to Pushkar in Rajasthan. And he said, oh, you come down for the celebration. This was the 25th of February that I took sannyas, and the celebration was the 21st of March. They used to have kirtan sannyas celebrations. So I went to up to Rajasthan. I was in such a elevated, expansive state, like a euphoria, like in a grandiosity, like in a, I don't know what to say about it. And I came back down on the 21st, and there was Osho sitting in his chair and people passing in front of him and touching his feet. And I went in and I touched his feet, and he gave me this delicious, shy smile. And then I walked out, and it was almost like the balloon burst, boom, and all this euphoria or grandiosity, this blah, 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 like gone. And it felt like then the work started. Yeah, Osho definitely gave me the inner. And how to live the outer and stay with the inner is the challenge of life.
Absolutely. In fact, I'd love to hear how you integrated that inner bliss experience you had at the beginning when you came across Osho and you met him and you took sannyas and you were in this kind of blissful state, and then you know, the real world and the mind kicks in and you have to live with that. When you said that when you met Osho, when you took sannyas in that Darshan meeting, he told you something about coolness, that you have to stay cool. And is this something meaningful and significant in your life? Do you feel like this is the key for you to find the bliss inside and live with your mind, this element of coolness?
Well, like I said, when I took sannyas, I didn't remember anything he said to me. And when I went out, I got into fights. I was so charged, like, and I got into physical fights. I think I was just felt so powerful, you know, without the integration. And I got into physical fights. I had a knife pulled on me in a train with the drunken Indians that I was trying to blah, 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 blah with them. And they said, hey, you know, which sort of, again, the bubble burst when that happened for me. Yeah. I feel meditation. I can only say meditation, and that can be in many, many forms. Therapy, you know, workshops, anything that helps me to see myself, anything that helps me to undo my conditioning, my structure, helps me to come back to myself. And that is like, you know, how to define coolness, you know, it can be, it's undefinable. And what does it mean? And then where to apply it? You know, do you apply coolness when there's a situation that demands, you know, some uncoolness? It's a conundrum. It's really like, it's impossible really to say. I feel a lot of it is not to react, you know, I would say the coolness helps me step back and separate a little bit from my reactiveness or the mind that has its fixed ideas or judgments. Maybe I could say the coolness helps is my witness, is the witness, which I can look at life, I can look at you right now, and I can talk, but I can still feel this presence in myself.
Yeah, no, make sense. And I'd like to pick up on that element you mentioned when you were in this charged of energy and then you got into fights. So that may sound a little bit counterintuitive and paradoxical, that someone that starts on a spiritual path with a master, you know, gets into this kind of situation. But in my small experience, and I've seen it with many sannyasins, with Osho, that can happen at the beginning when you start, for example, doing dynamic meditation or experiencing this upsurge of energy. And it's so overwhelming that we are not used to, we don't know what to do with it. And it can go into anger or in the wrong places. I think it's critical to distinguish the Osho meditation compared to how meditation, for example, is presented today, that, you know, you meditate to cool down, sleep better, but that's like a sleeping pill kind of things. Whereas with Osho, it's a total transformation of your being, of your energy, which comes at the beginning with some side effect, if you like.
I would like to say that we start off from where we are. I was an, I don't know if I can use the expression, just an angry motherfucker, you know. I wasn't a particularly nice guy, you know. I had a lot of energy, you know? I could. And yeah, just sitting or doing any form of meditation, but absolutely with Osho, he woke me up, you know. He woke many thousands of people up. And he woke you up to where you are right then. And if you have a lot of anger, or you have repression, or you're depressed, or you're, you know, loop, whatever you are, he woke that up. So you start off from where you are. And from there, that's the growth. That's the journey. For me, the journey is to be human. I'm not particularly bothered about the spiritual thing, you know. I feel it is spiritual, but there's so much. It's like mentioning God, and then, you know, the whole concept is like, it's, you know, it's not a very healthy word these days. And spirituality is also going a little bit down that road. There's so many spiritual people and spiritual gurus, and yet to be human is really, and to be normal, and to be, you know, upset and sad and happy and peaceful, and we have it all. And it's not to pretend to be Himalaya, the coolness, or the Himalaya, the, you know. And I've been through phases of that where I've sent my girlfriends crazy from being cool, you know. But it was actually not cool. It was just being either cut off or dead or disinterested. It wasn't, for me, the coolness is a flowing, is my being. It's a balance. We wake up, we get more energy, and then how to integrate that, how to live respectfully, and you know, not to let the ego take hold of it and create, you know, big issues around it.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great point. First of all, to realize that human beings are multidimensional, and we have all these emotions, and being on a spiritual path and meditative doesn't mean to be always cool and saint and spiritual. That's not Osho's teaching. And also, I'd like to pick up on the point that Osho helped so many people who initially came into a spiritual journey from not a particularly developed state of meditation, if you like. Like you were said, you know, I was an angry motherfucker, and I can definitely say the same. When I started meditating, I was full of anger. And Osho accepts everyone, you know, it doesn't require you to go clean yourself, meditate for 10 years, and then you can become a sannyasin. That's another massive revolution in spirituality. Not many people appreciate, I think, you know, they take it for granted, maybe. Okay, so talking about your life today, if I understand correctly, you were not living in the commune all the time like other sannyasins who, you know, stayed with Osho from Pune 1 in Oregon and Pune 2. You were perhaps a little bit on and off. And then after Pune 2, you also lived in Australia for many years. You were in contact with the sannyas community, with the sannyasins, especially in Byron Bay, where even today there is a community of sannyasins. So yeah, talk us through those times coming closer to your present day life, and how did you progress in your path?
That's a lot. Well, let me start in Pune 1. I still did the Goa Manali in between journeys, you know, from 76 to 81. I cleaned up taking any substances within 4 to 6 weeks of taking sannyas. It felt completely the other direction for me of where meditation took me and where any form of a substance took me. And it was very clear. I could have a beautiful day's meditation and then smoke a joint and baff, bam, gone. So, yeah, I wasn't in the commune in Pune 1 on the ranch. And that in that time, I think I left in 81 and I was in Europe for a year. And then I ended up in Australia in 82. And I went to the ranch every year, and I was both working and doing workshops and therapy and dynamic and dancing and washing dishes. And I feel when you said on and off, I feel, yeah, on and off in the commune, but it's like never on and off with Osho. Of course, you know, like there's times when I've hated Osho. I really was like, he woke me up and he disturbed me. He disturbed me, and it was like such a disturbance. And now, I mean, that was years ago, but now I'm like, give me more. Yeah. So anyway, I ended up in Australia, and there I'd never really lived in the world, so it was like learning to find my way. And I started doing handyman in the commune in Sydney, and then I got into building construction. And after 8 to 9 years in Sydney, I ended up in Byron Bay to build a house for a sannyasin friend. And that just, I stayed there. I just kept work, one job after another. I would get cashed up and go to Pune, spend my money, go back to Byron, and there was always seemed to be work or something happening. So it was a constant flow of working, and I love my work. I see now that I've stopped the hard physical work. I really loved what I did. The work I did was mostly with friends, and one particularly very close friend. We worked together for 25 years, and sometimes a crew, and it was nearly always for sannyasins building houses. And it was beautiful just to have that personal touch. Sometimes it's a challenge too. you got a bit mixed up, you know, the personal and the work. But it was overall, it was very beautiful just to, yeah, to use my skills and to use my skills in offering something for somebody too. Pune 2, well, when Osho went to Mumbai, I was there for a while and then went to Pune 2, and that's when I did. That's when I really got into working on myself with therapy, you know, primals, anti-Fischer Hoffman, this and this and that. And I went through a crisis at some point in 98, I think it was. It was after Osho left. I had an eye operation that got a bit a bit mixed up, and it put me into a quieter state. And out of that came a process, or I had some friends who were doing a process called the Path of Love. That set me straight again, because I feel like after, you know, my journey was about doing it alone, on my own, meditation, love affairs, travel. But the path of love really opened me up to communication and sharing, the beautiful side, the dark side, the anything that is inside, just communication and sharing. And I found it was a huge gift for me to end up in that process. And I'm still involved in it in some ways with sharing groups and staffing. And I feel deeply grateful for Osho and the Path of Love. And I feel like, what a gift.
Yes, yeah. And we interviewed Turia and also more recently Manisha, who is part of the Path of Love staff in the UK, and she works with Rafia. And we spoke about the Path of Love. And when we were in the UK, in London, we had a lot of people coming out of the Path of Love groups, and they would come to do dynamic meditation. And
it's a gem of a process, and it's very real. It's authentic. It's a very beautiful process.
So you mentioned you are part of the staff or the Path of Love, so you're still involved?
I just go on staff whenever I'm when it's around, or I'm
Okay, wonderful. Now, it's a beautiful way for you, I believe, to get attuned to that vibes and to that process. And you know, if you find it so nourishing, it's a beautiful way to remind yourself about that. So it's great. Yeah. So, yeah, coming now closer to your present days, I am aware that recently you moved to Greece in Corfu, specifically Arigias is a small village in the northwest part of the island, and it seems to be growing with attracting a lot of sannyasins, particularly sannyasins who are with Osho and Puna One, and that's a very special thing that there are so many old sannyasins, as well as people who are into Osho, non into Osho. There are so many, you know, different things happening, especially in the summer time. So, yeah, what brought you here, and tell us a little bit about Corfu.
What brought me here? In 2006, I was in Pune, and I met a friend there who said he has this job to build the Buddha Hall in Corfu. He was already living here, and he told me about it. I said, hey, I want to be on that job. I want to be on that process. And so we worked it out, and I arrived here in May 2007. And of course, Greek way start until September. So I had time here just enjoying every lesson, a little bit of work too. And yeah, I worked on the Buddha Hall, building the roof mostly. And that's how I first arrived here. At one point, for a while, I'd felt I wanted to get out of Australia. I had a beautiful house that I built. It was in the rainforest community. But it just felt like I needed to downsize. I needed to, free up. And the best move I've made for a long time. I sold everything and arrived in Greece. And it was amazing that 2 days after I sold my house, it sold very quickly, and I was offered a place in Corfu to buy if I wanted to buy it. And it felt like a beautiful continuation. So, and that's what happened. I arrived in February this year, and I settled here in permanently, sort of. I know, I'm never permanent. it's a base. It's a base. The COVID's made it a little bit more permanent. But I felt I wanted to, after 38 years in Australia, it felt like I need a challenge. What happened? I had a whole life change situation like 2 years ago. And out of that, I wanted to do something new. And I was here. This was in 2018. And I decided I want to go to Brazil and staff the Path of Love. And then I traveled in South America. I went to Bolivia and Peru and Cuba, and it woke up something like my teenager again, and I love the challenge and to get into situations that I didn't speak Spanish. So anyway, it was a great adventure, you know, just that unknown, you know, living the unknown and living the spontaneous. And it's like that was a big sort of wake up for me to leave Australia. And in the last, that previous year, three of my good friends had died also. And I was like, yeah, you know, can't postpone, you know, like don't delay. And so that was it. It was like time to leave. It's time to leave and come here. And so what? You know, I haven't closed the door on Australia. It's a beautiful country, beautiful friends. I could easily, if necessary, it's the door's open for going back.
I really love when you were talking about your traveling in South America, you know, because clearly you said, I felt like a teenager, and you're not a teenager anymore physically, but in the spirit, I feel that, you know, your energy is so fresh, so alive. And that's another element which I found so commonly with sannyasins who live with Osho and got the spark, this desire to live life. You know, you guys really want to live life, and you learn this idea, you know, don't delay, life is here and now, and doesn't matter, you know, how old you are, but you're going for adventure and you're ready for change, you're ready to drop everything. You know, if you compare you with the average person of your age, I mean, you're living lives in completely different dimensions.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I don't feel, I mean, the body, you know, I have knee injuries from sports and, you know, this and that, and the body is not as fresh, but I feel fresher, and I feel that freshness, or that, yeah, the agelessness, is that's what's growing. That's what meditation is. That emptiness, for me, it's emptiness. I wouldn't say I meditate on emptiness, but I just allow emptiness to be. And if it comes, it comes. If it doesn't come, but that is ageless. And I'm very happy with it. And it's true. I that's part of why I would like to come to Corfu. I'm like, okay, so Europe's available, but now the COVID, and it's like, okay, so, you know, I stay. Yeah, but I do go to Italy in November for the training. I was there 2 weeks ago. I took the car, I put it on the ferry, and I drove from Ancona to Siena, and I loved it. You know, just that freedom, the Tuscan hills, and is it Umbria there? The shades and the autumn colors, and I don't know. It was like, wow, what a gift, you know.
Himalaya, we are heading towards the end. I have three final questions which I ask all the guests on the show. But before that, is there anything else you would like to share, to say about you and Osho, about yourself, anything I didn't ask?
Gratitude for being such a fortunate. What came to me after taking sannyas or meeting Osho was, why me? Why do I deserve this? And I feel so grateful and such gratitude that he woke me up. and I'm still waking up. That's all I have to say.
That's wonderful. I don't know if you're fully awoken, but you're definitely not asleep. I can tell you that.
I don't think there's an end to it.
Okay, so I've got three final questions. The first one is, what's your morning routine? How does your morning look like in the first couple of hours of your day?
I get up, I drink a glass of water or two. I like to have a cold shower. Depends. I might have a hot first if the water is really cold, but I like a cold shower. And then I need my coffee. I like to have my coffee. Then I'll sit down, and then I left Facebook. It's like it was enough after the COVID story and everything. And I was like, not enough. So I've deactivated that, and now I have like 6 news apps that I go through: the Australian, the German, American, English, Greek, and I just check the news. And even that I'm getting tired of. But that's my morning routine. And I'm not a breakfast eater. I hardly ever eat breakfast. Maybe around late morning. Lunchtime, I'll have something to eat.
Wow, it's very similar to what I do, you know, drinking water, taking cold shower, having a coffee, and dropping Facebook. I also drop Facebook, so there are lots of similarities. Oh, interesting. Cool. So the second question is, what's your favorite meditation and why? Osho meditations.
Well, last year I went through a crisis, and I ended up doing again dynamic. I did it for 10 weeks and last year or the year before, and I fell in love with dynamic. And it's not, people go, oh no, but it's there's so much to that 1 hour meditation, so many dimensions, so many energies available. And I would say dynamics, I don't do it very often. Occasionally I'll do it out of the hell of it, you know, but just at any time of the day. But yeah, I feel the dynamics a gem. Kundalini I love to do also. It's a beautiful meditation. Yeah.
Okay, great.
I sit every morning. The most important part of my morning meditation is after my coffee and I look at the newspaper. I sit every morning for 45 minutes at least. I just sit and close my eyes and watch and watch. And that is my morning routine.
Okay, so the last question is, you live the Osho experiment. What does it mean to you to be with Osho today?
More, 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 and more. Yeah, live and learn, evolve, change, allow. Yeah.
Okay, wonderful. Well, look, it's been a real pleasure chatting with you, connecting with you. I really love your story, your insights, and your message that comes out of the very way you look, you speak, and you live your life. You know, it's really life affirmative, really up for it, and it's very inspirational. So thank you so much for being part of the Love Osho podcast. I send you lots of love and a big hug.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it and leave a review. Visit loveosho.com for more episodes, blogs, or to connect with us.